Welcome to the Red Podcast, a place for bold, inspired, outrageously courageous, and just a tad bit naughty women leaders come together. I'm Elaine Kalila, and I'm the founder of the Priestess Presence Temple, a sisterhood of over 80,000 women. For the past 25 years, I've had the great pleasure and privilege of supporting, inspiring, catalyzing, and initiating women to remember who they are. The Red Podcast is a place where you can come to lean into your edges, listen for that which yearns to be expressed more fully through you, and to say yes to the places that probably scare you. More importantly, I'm going to be talking with some amazing women who are spiritual and grounded, and we're going to be chatting about what it takes for each one of us to step into the legacy of our purpose and fully bring it to the world that we're here to co-create. Your presence is a gift, so I say bring it. We're here to listen to your red, your leading edge, that place of evolution within you. Hope you enjoy the conversations. Well, hello there, my beautiful sisters and women of the Red Podcast land. It's Elaine Kalila back with yet another amazing episode for you today. So this is the thing. You know, I've been talking about menopause, that or perimenopause, or the wild and wacky journey that it is that we as women go through in our 40s and our 50s and even into our 60s around this transition. And it's become really, really fascinating to me because I've been in the depths of it as I've been talking to you quite a while around this for the last 9 years. And 9 years, I know. No one ever tells you it's going to be 9 years, right? But the truth of the matter is it has been. So I was chatting with another one of my wonderful podcast interviewees. Her name is Tema. And we were talking all about, you know, the transitions of women's lives. And she said, well, you need to talk to my girl, Kelly. And I, you know how it is, how it works? And I just love it because I this is how I get connected to amazing women. So today I'm here with Kelly Hayes, and I'm just really excited because I know you've made this a massive part of your ministry and your life and your work. So I'd love to just start off and say to you, what happened to you that you decided or were brought to the place of saying, I need to talk to women about the midlife that we go through, this menopausal journey? Wherever you want to start, I'd love to hear.
I first just want to say thank you so much for having me in this sacred space. I believe anytime women get together to talk about their journeys and their divinity, it's a good thing and it's a good time. So thank you so much for having me in this space. And especially, if you are a sister of my friend, Tema, oh my gosh, then I know that we're in for a wonderful conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, like with most things that we end up doing as a part of our passion and purpose, it's because we've journeyed it or we are journeying through it.
Right.
There just came a time in my life where I describe it as hitting a brick wall. I was like, what is wrong with me? You know, it was just emotions were all over the place. My body was doing all kinds of crazy things. I was going back and forth to the doctor and they were like, nothing's wrong with you. And you know, it just makes you feel kind of off. And I just really did something that I call my 5 months of transformation. I just started going within. I got quiet. I spent time to myself. I meditated, matter of fact, so much so that I ended up getting certified in meditation teacher training. And literally, spirit just began to reveal to me that this is your transition stage from one rite of passage as a woman to the next. And it was so foreign to me because I had not had that conversation with my own mother or grandmother aunts or anyone. And so I was not having that conversation with anyone. So I just started researching and reading and going through a couple of different GYNs and back and forth. When I finally realized this is what it was, I had to start settling in my spirit to say, if you keep flailing and kicking, you're not going to make it through this process and thrive. And you're not going to die here. This is not the hero.
Right.
And so I started talking to my circle of friends, and we were all in the same time frame and time age. But we realized that no one had talked to us about this rite of passage, going from building and birthing to really prioritizing yourself and your well-being and your hopes and your dreams and moving forward. And I ended up writing a book. I wrote about that journey and what that was like. And it just grabbed a hold of my spirit, and I've been doing it ever since.
My goodness. Well, I want to just honor you on that journey. And I think one of the things that's so amazing, and I think it's why I'm talking about it on my podcast, is because I've been going through it, and I've been, you know, and I had an idea that there was a rite of passage involved here, but not really the intensity of it, or the kind of the ways in which it's changed me and my priorities and what I think is important, what I care about, what I don't care about, right?
I can tell you that what brick wall I hit was like, okay, can I just leave everybody? Can I pack my bags and just like, I don't want to hear any more concerns or cares or worries or anything you need me to do. I'm not listening. I don't want to. My BS meter was very short. It was just, everything was just coming to a head. And man, could I just feel like I didn't want to be bothered with anybody. And I didn't want to take care of anybody else. I didn't want to answer anybody else's questions or be the answer to theirs. And that's part of it. And it's really a sacred work that your body, mind, and spirit is doing to shift you to that place and to be okay with it. Women have a hard time because we're not okay with prioritizing ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. So I hear about this brick wall, and I think we all experience this brick wall to some degree differently. And I know for me, there's this kind of thing that I notice with a lot of women, which is this kind of intolerance of, intolerance that comes up around anything that doesn't feel like it's any longer serving the greater good of who you are, your mission, what you're really here for. That was the first thing. And the second thing was just not really caring about what other people think of you anymore. And that is such a revelation. Can you talk about that from your perspective? Because to me, this was like, I don't know. I felt like it happened overnight. I just woke up one morning and I was like, you know what? I don't care.
And the challenge is, like I always say, we crossed over an invisible threshold.
Right.
And we crossed over it. We were over it. That's what I said.
Exactly. And then you're over it.
We were over it, and in a sense of self-preservation begins to happen. You literally are not willing, I love the word you use as well, tolerate what you've tolerated before. They're literally psychologically a rewiring of your brain.
Yeah.
Focus on you, because you're no longer, your ovaries have a great deal to do with what's happening in your body. Your estrogen is plummeting, and we enter this in so many different ways. Some women no longer have their uterus and they've been plunged into it prior to that. Some women have reproductive health issues where they've had to have fibroids removed, or they're dealing with endometriosis, or they have, unfortunately, like cancer diagnosis, and sometimes the treatment just automatically, I mean, I don't want to say automatically, but immediately thrust them into this place physically. And psychologically is the thing that we don't often talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Our emotional wellness, because we think we're losing it. I can't tell you how many women I talked to that felt like, I am losing my mind here.
Yeah, I think that's really it. When you talk about the wiring, you know, because as our hormones shift, so does our brain, right? And the way, oh my goodness, the way in which we remember things or don't remember things, and the way... oh my goodness. And also how we are wired to take care of people and how our wiring shifts, like you said, to taking care of self. So I'm super curious to deepen into that a little bit for you, is because I know in your book, you kind of lay out your journey, and to some degree, you lay out kind of like some phases of the journey, right? So the question that I was going to ask you is, what has been most challenging and what has been most revealing and beautiful about this journey for you?
I love to call it the magnificence and madness.
I completely understand.
Because you also come into a sense of power. You also have a sense of confidence. You come into your own. You come into your own agency. It is just something about this season. And really, research bears it out that this is the season for women to, they get the most adventurous. They're ready to try new things. They're ready to chuck it. Some things and just really go for it. It's the season when women will more than likely sometimes divorce, or they, you know, they will change their whole career path. All of those things happen. And for me, I realized that I have been living someone else's idea of who I was supposed to be.
Oof, that's so powerful. And what was that idea of who you were supposed to be?
So my husband and I, this July, we will be 39 years.
Ooh, and it's a long time.
Yes. And it's a lifetime almost. And so when we came into marriage, you know, we were young. We were 22.
Yeah, you were babies.
We were babies and we had no idea what we were doing. The fact that we're still together is a miracle.
Totally.
But I just literally, and he's such an outgoing person, and I was pretty much an introvert, and very introspective, cautious. Yeah. And so his life and calling, became who we were.
Ooh, I hear that. Mm-hmm.
And my identity and everything was attached to what he was doing, where he was going.
You were his support. You were his support. Yeah.
And then I just, all of a sudden, I was just like, who? And that is the main question that happens in midlife. And perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, you start asking questions that need to be answered. And it was like, who am I really? I've been so used to hiding. And that was the thing. I didn't even realize I was hiding. I just fit into this groove of comfort, and that's where I was. But there is a faint knocking on your spirit and on your heart. And the more you stay on this journey, the louder it gets. And you're going to have to answer that door eventually and decide if the pain and discomfort can be overshadowed by the pain of doing something new and becoming something different. Wow. Either way, it's going to be painful. You have to choose your pain.
Right? I so hear you on that one, too. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm calling this, I'm 55 this year, right? So this is my 5'5". Mm-hmm. And I've been in this since 46, which, you know, and I tell the story to sisters because, you know, I got pregnant at 46, Kelly, and I lost that baby, and that sparked my menopause. So from there on out, I've been in this journey of assessment of who am I and what's important? What the heck am I doing here? What's the legacy I'm here to really leave? Because, you know, life is moving on and so am I, kind of thing, right? And I'm calling this my retrofit year. I've been talking about this too. I'm like in retrofit land, and it's like, I'm not exactly throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but everything that's underneath it has to change. Like The closets need to be cleaned out, the drawers, the, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't do it any longer. And anything that is extraneous that doesn't have a useful purpose in my life has to go now. And it's in my business. It's in my relationships. It's in my closet. It's in my panty drawer. It's everywhere. So I'm right. Right.
Yes, I'm so glad because that's what it feels like. And I thought, what am I doing? I'm like throwing away stuff, I'm clearing out stuff. But it is because my spirit is saying it's time to travel light. And it is a radical reset of your life. That's what I call in the book. It menopause, midlife is a radical reset. And we get to do those things. We have to learn to give ourselves permission as women to do things that we don't normally do or that we would leave up to someone else that we think may know better. But nobody knows you better than you do. Yeah. You might have to spend some time getting to know yourself again.
Right. Right. And I think, like, I know that you've got kids, grown kids, you've got grandkids, you've got like a whole huge family situation, you're in ministry. Like, I know you have a full life over there.
Yeah. But it is, I am so grateful to have gotten to this place because my life is full, but I'm also setting boundaries now. I'm setting new boundaries, I'm setting different standards. And how people can pull on my energy because I'm clear in this season. I don't have limitless energy.
Hallelujah.
So I decide where my is going.
Isn't that the wake-up call? Let's talk about that a bit more, because I think that you know, we can see it as a limitation because we're like, I hear myself saying, I'm like, no, dude, I'm 55. I'm not 45. I'm not 35. And I'm honoring the difference. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because we're taught that this is a bad thing, right? That's part of it.
Yes, that is. So I think I've read a gajillion articles on that. And one of the things I say is that we're redefining what midlife is. We're reimagining it. It's a rebirth of sorts. Because we've always been taught to push back aging and getting older and try to circumvent it, try to stop it, and that in and of itself is creating cognitive dissonance in us. And, you know, on one hand, we see our bodies doing something different, but then we try to hold on to youth as long as we can. And we're judged by that. We're judged by our skin, our boobs, you know, whether, you know, we can still look like we're 24 when we're not.
Clearly not.
And being able to embrace that releases so much stress on us and being comfortable in our own skin. And that, I mean, we've spent billions of dollars on anti-aging. Oh. Everything anti-aging, even toothpaste. Anti-aging, you know, restore your enamel, get back to this. And everything is about recapturing versus embracing the beauty of where we are.
Wow.
And it would bring us so much more peace if we would learn how to embrace this season for what it absolutely is. It's sacred. It's inevitable, first of all, but suffering through it is not inevitable.
Yeah. I love that. And I think that this is one of the places where we as women who are, you know, putting our voices out there, writing books, speaking on podcasts, talking about the journey, right? And it's like there's this place where I can feel in myself that the pressure of that anti-aging, or, you know, you're not meant to be older as a woman. Specifically, men can get older. That's fine. But women, right? We're told that that's not it. Like, you're not desirable. You're not wanted. You become invisibilized, et cetera, et cetera. What I have actually discovered for myself, which I'm so extraordinarily excited about, and I think it goes with this topic of boundaries that you were talking about, is, yeah, I don't have the same energy that I had when I was 25. And I've always had a lot of energy. I've always been a very energized person. So I've noticed it. And I could say, wow, that's really wrong. I need to go and get more energy for myself and figure it out. But what it's actually done is it's made me realize how much energy I wasted doing things that I didn't have to do.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Because I had the surplus energy, so I would just work harder on something I actually didn't need to work that hard on. And now it's like really embracing that working smarter, not harder situation. And I think this last 5 years, I've really been getting that. And I think that's been an absolute joy for me because I you know, at this point in our lives, we've done a lot. Can we all sit on the fact that we have done a lot?
And we celebrate that. Please say that again, because we don't think we've done enough. We don't think we're enough. We don't think we've accomplished anything.
Right.
When we actually look back over our lives, we are astonishing ourselves to say, oh my God, I did that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I completed that. I accomplished that. Uh-huh. And not just those outward things, but those inward things when you've gone through maybe a tragic situation or a loss or a change and you made it through it. And you know that you were more capable than you thought, you were stronger than you thought, and that deserves some celebration, some pats on the backs, a party to celebrate yourself for getting yourself to where you are. That doesn't mean it was all wonderful, that it was all easy, but it's still worth celebrating.
I couldn't agree with you more, Kelly, because this is what I've gleaning from what you're saying and my own journey, and for all of you who are in this journey, is there, when we think about seasons of life, this is the full bloom. This is the ripening. This is the, in some degree, this is the first harvest of your life, right? You are in that phase of your life. You've worked really hard. You've done a lot of stuff. You've had a lot of challenges. You've traveled through. You've hopefully gained some wisdom by now. So when you're sitting in this position in our lives, to actually take that moment to celebrate that and to see ourselves clearly, I think that that's part of what this menopausal journey is. And what I find so fascinating is, and I'm curious to hear what you would say about this, because typically, particularly within my world, where we're focusing on the goddess mysteries and all of that, right? We talk about maiden, we talk about mother, and we talk about crone. Yeah. But we don't talk about is the phase between mother and crone. And I'm super curious what you call this phase. Yeah, what you call this phase, because I've been playing with all kinds of words to define. No, but we ain't just crones. We're not just going straight to crone.
Right. Oh my God. Yes, because that's what we even think, that when if our ovaries are no longer working, then it's done. It's kaput. We're over. We're not.
Right.
Anymore, we just might as well go out to pasture and just die. But it is a rebirthing. It's a beginning of a new way of existing. And I love to use the word sage. I said, we are now sage. This is our sage season, which is the next book I'm working on. It's embracing the sacred sage season, because
I love that.
Wisdom. This is the season of so much joy. We have so much to offer. And my friend and I, we were laughing so hard. She said, I don't know how I feel that people are calling me ma'am now. Wait a minute. Did you just say ma'am?
You just ma'am me.
And we start laughing. By the time we got finished with our conversation, we said, we earned that. We
sure did. That's exactly right. I love it. I can't wait for this new book, Kelly. Fabulous. You know, I had a friend of mine say this to me the other day. I was interviewing her, I don't know, like a few months back. See, this is my menopausal mind. It might have been a few days ago. It could have been a few months ago. Who knows? My God. But she was the first one to use that phrase with me. And she said, darling, we're not aging, we're saging. And I just went, oh, yes, right? So it's in the collective. It's starting to be in the collective of this archetype of sage. So let's just talk about the archetype of sage for a moment and who that is. Because to me, that excites me to no end. So tell me, who is the sage? Let's talk about her.
Yes, because, and I struggled with that, the Crone piece, because our imagery around is so negative and attractive. We could try to reinvent that word, but I don't want to work that hard. It is what it is. But I love using the word sage, and because it is the woman who has come through challenges of life, suffered some losses, gained some things, and is now at peace with who she is. That's the greatest place to be, to now be at peace. You're no longer driven, you're inspired.
Oh, from drive to inspire. That is it. Exactly right. Without those hormones doing their dance with us, right? And I'm still, by the way, in my hormonal dance, as you all know, because I have the menstrual blood that doesn't want to give up. She just keep coming back. and we're just going with it at this point, honey, because there's been months. I've almost hit menopause 3 times, and then it's been like, nope, the body. Right. And I understand. I get it. You know, for a long time, I've been a bit mad about it, but now I actually get it. I know what's happening. I can feel I'm in my journey. I'm really in my journey. But this thing around the switch from drive to be inspired and being at peace. So this is that thing, right? Is without the estrogen that's driving you to nurture and care for others, but also driving you to be desirable. Let's just talk about this for a moment, because this is hysterical, right? Because estrogen drives us to be desirable, because its function is for us to be able to procreate. That on a biological level is what it's doing, right? So we're trying to attract a mate or attract something. If it's not a mate, it's just what it's doing. It's like the honey, the nectar, or the flower. And the saging process for me has been this radical piece of realizing that I actually don't care anymore. I mean, I don't not feel sexy. I feel fabulous at this age. I actually feel the best I felt in my body. And it isn't for anyone else anymore. It's for me.
Because the global consciousness for women is that we are things. We are
objects. That's right. Objects, right.
Our bodies are to be used. Sexual pleasure is for reproduction, carrying babies, feeding babies, working. We forget about that, the work that our bodies do. And to choose to no longer be seen like that and taking agency over your own body, that includes pleasure, because it shifts from the demand of your estrogen, as you said, to reproduce, to your mind. What you think about your body and your sexuality and your pleasure, it's really your mind. It's not just your hormones. It has to shift to healing, first of all, your body, making peace with your body. If you've had any trauma, you may need some therapy to deal with trauma-induced images, your self-image on your body, feeling lack of control over your own body if you've had any body trauma. All of that can happen in this season because you're open. You're more open to get quiet enough to hear your own voice, to say, this is a point of pain here. It's still in my body. I still feel it in my cells. I need to heal. And then you shift to what you think. We don't realize how powerful our minds are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of our issues are based on what we think about something. And that then begins to affect how you feel about it. And then the decisions you make based on that. Mm-hmm. And we are not at the whim of our ovaries no longer producing eggs or no longer having the level of estrogen, progesterone, or even testosterone. We have within us the ability to give ourselves what we need for joy and pleasure.
I've got a really dear, dear mama figure for me and teacher, and she's 75, and she says to me, "Oh, Kalila, darling, you're in the fabulous 50s. And then after that come the sexy 60s. She said, "You're in for the time of your life right now." And it's so beautiful for me to have elders in my life who are, you know, embracing their crone years now and are ready for that. As who are vibrant and alive and so in wonder and awe of their lives, such beautiful role models, for them to be speaking into what really is the season of our lives. Yeah. And I think that this, you know, this is something that probably our mother, my mother did not have this. Gosh, no. Right. So I think there's something about us as a generation of women. And I was reflecting, Kelly, in what you were saying about no one was talking to us about these phases of life. Well, I'm pretty sure you're probably the same as me, but no one ever talked to me about my first blood either, or, you know, my first menstruation. That was something that wasn't talked about. That rite of passage was completely like mute, right? It was like there was nothing happening there. So we're the interesting generation that have grown up kind of in this lost place of our rites of passage. And we have been the ones who've been working on reclaiming them. And that goes for all of you sisters who are out there who are in this age group, anyone from 45 to 65, we've been reclaiming these rites of passage for ourselves, because we sure as enough were not given these when we were growing up, right?
That is my next assignment, to reconnect the dots, because we realize how that first onset of menses, our first experience with it, what we were taught shame, you know, right. We gave it bad names, the whole nine yards. But that is absolutely connected to where we are.
Exactly. Exactly. And part of my journey, because, you know, I've shared this story before, but, you know, I was raised by my dad and my mom was not present, and my dad was not equipped to have this conversation with me. And the story goes is he bought back some sanitary towels. I was 13. He bought back some sanitary towels from the store. And what he said to me was, "Oh, there's something for you in the cupboard." And I was all excited, thinking it was like, you know, a treat. And I go into the cupboard and there's a paper bag in there. And I look inside and I'm horrified, as you only would be at 13. And we never spoke another word about it. I ran upstairs with my face on fire, hid for the rest of the day, and just pretended like nothing had ever happened, right? That was it. There we go. And for me, the menopausal journey and really reclaiming my connection into my menstrual cycle and into the wisdom of that through my 30s and 40s and now into my 50s has been a redo of that experience, right? Because it's never too late, my loves, because if you're like me and you had that experience or any other experience along our lives, this is menopause is a massive time of redo. You get to redo it however you want to do it.
Yes, I've been using so many re-words,
right?
This journey, and that's we're reimagining it, so we're not taking on the shame, fear of it, as if our bodies are something to be ashamed of. Because when we're talking about it, we're talking about our bodies, and we, not too long ago, we do a what we call Mondays in the meditation room with Dr. K for Midlife Musings. And we talked about healing our relationship with our bodies. And one of the books I ran across was called Our Bodies Are Not an Apology. Mm. And it's like we have such angst on whether we get boobs or don't get boobs. If we get, and they're too big as we're coming through puberty and right. It draws too much attention, then we're trying to sink and, you know, hunch over. We don't want that, because, you know, we get shamed if our bodies are developing and we become objects, and, you know, we don't want that attention. And then our cycles come, and the most that they can say is, "Don't get pregnant." I'm like, well, is that
Right. Is that it? Right. Totally.
So it is undoing that. And my goal is to start undoing that in girls at a much younger age so that they can travel this life to get to this point in a much more confident, peaceful.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, that's part of your saging gift, hon. That's part of what I can hear. And also having granddaughters, right? Because now you've got, you know, the younger generation, and it's like you're the older generation. And it's like, well, who do we want to be as the elders? And that's part of what I'm reckoning with, which is so bizarre, right? Because I'm like, what now? How did that happen? And what? But I'm in a position of mentoring a lot of women who are younger than me. And I feel the rightness of that. And I feel like we're, you know, in that, I love it. I'm going to be working with this idea of the sage, of who she actually is and filling her out as an archetype. So if you have an idea, those of you who are listening, of, and you feel into this energy of the sage, love it. Sage. I'm going to keep saying that word, sage. I'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you about what that means for you. Like, who is she? What are some of her qualities? What are some of her attributes? How do we recognize a sage? Because I think about elder, right? And elder is, elder is not an old person. Elder is a station in life that is conferred upon you by your community. That's the way I would look at it, right? And sage is definitely a place on the journey towards eldership. Let's talk about that. What do you think about that?
It is earned. Many indigenous cultures, that's
right.
The older you get, the more sacred you become, the more honored and revered you are for your wisdom and for your insight and for your connection to the spirit. Right. And we have to re-embrace that and celebrate it. I wanted to pull it up because there was something and this was one of the things that got me when I was on this search for what word I wanted to use. And literally, the dictionary says, you know, a sage, a mature or venerable person of sound judgment.
Ooh, sound judgment.
No more flitting and, you know, going from one thing to the next, not being sure of ourselves. Because as women, we often second guess ourselves. We don't, you know, we're taught to dummy down so people can't like us. What is this whole evil thing of likability that, you know, woman is not liked, you know, she's not valuable capable. She has to like, and research says that by the time girls hit the third grade, they are literally dimming their light to be accepted and to be liked.
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
That's crazy.
That it starts that young. And it, when you are in this sage, you embraced all of those years. You're not throwing anything away. You're grabbing it onto a mosaic that who has become you. You cannot be in the sage season without embracing every part of your journey.
I love it. This idea, Kelly, that you're just putting forward of this sound judgment. I just want us to feel that for a moment. And this idea that we could sit in the center of our own being and we could know what's real and true. And that we're no longer pandering or seeking for validation in the way that we were. And this is a real spiritual maturity that we're talking about that is what I think menopause is all about. And I think that that's why we have to get the word out there to each other and be talking about it, because you don't want to miss this opportunity. You don't want to just medicate this away or, you know, have it be an encumbrance. Because I know for me, there's been some challenges. It's not easy. This is not an easy transition in the body. Like, my body really has had me have to really learn how to take better care of her. And my mood swings. Because what happened for me was, right, let's talk about mood swings for a moment, because you think premenstruation is hard. Mm-hmm. And my partner, and you all know him, beloved Bam, we got together 10 years ago, right at the onset of my perimenopause. And he just says to me, wow, wasn't I lucky? Because I said to him, babe, you know, I've always, my experience with my menstrual cycle was that I always had the mood. Like I was like, the few days before I got my moon time, ooh, Lord, you didn't want to come near me. I was like, I was not fit for human consumption at that level. I really wasn't. And I said to him, you know, you want to try perimenopause because you not only have that for a few days, you can have that for months. There are months I can track when I was like, wow, okay, my mood is intense right now. Like I am like a mama bear or a lioness. Like, do not mess with me and give me a wide berth.
Yeah. But this is also this season of being self-aware, which I want to teach girls from such a young age, being self-aware and aware of your body.
Right.
Because sometimes I don't even realize. Sometimes a while back, my husband would bring it to my attention and I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
That's what's going on with me. I would be so far from being in tune with myself that he would notice it sometimes before I would.
Oh, yeah.
And to have compassion for yourself and begin to build in time, because one of my daughters, her cycles were just horrific for her. And my oldest daughter, she had it to a degree, but not like my middle daughter. And I realized that as women, we had to learn how to pad our time to give ourselves time.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that truth?
We would say yes to, we can't say yes to, because you need to curl up in bed with some hot tea and a good movie or a book and just sleep. Go ahead and eat a piece of chocolate or cupcake, whatever. Go ahead and do it.
Right.
Use that moment as reflection. In other words, be empowered instead of victimized by your own body and cycle.
That's it. That is it. And, you know, and that discernment of what do I need in this moment is part of the journey, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, there is no map of this. In fact, the map is gone. That's the issue. Because you know how your menstrual cycle is a map. Like, you know where you are. You're like, oh, I'm ovulating. Oh, I'm premenstrual. Oh, I'm about to get my moon. Oh, you know, we know. We've been having this cycle for most of our lives. We know where we are. And suddenly you've no idea where you are.
Yes. Right? And it can be very frightening.
Yeah.
And very, what we call creating a lot of disequilibrium, because you're not fully through it. And this season of transition can be very, very frightening. And we just talked this past Monday about our emotional wellness in the change.
Yeah.
We can't be so focused on just the symptoms that
That's
we
right.
are focused on our emotional well-being and state of being, because you literally, women are dealing with different levels of depression.
Yeah.
In this season, grief.
Yeah. It's part of it for sure.
A part of it. And I said, we have to be okay with those emotions and feelings because it's a part of it. There is a loss to a certain degree of losing yourself as you were and becoming something that you're not quite sure of who she's going to be.
Exactly. And that death and rebirth is real. You know, when there's a resurrection that happens and I think it's like you'll recognize yourself, but you will not recognize some parts of yourself because you're not who you were. And that's the definition of a rite of passage, right? Is you're not who you were
before. That's beauty of it. And that is something we get to look forward to. We weren't taught to look forward to it. We were taught to avoid it at all costs. So we're behind the eight ball. We're behind what we need to traverse this journey. And I won't be able to reach everybody, but my goal is to reach some young women that will change that about their lives so that the trajectory of their lives.
That's a beautiful gift that you're giving. So I know you all now, having heard our lovely guest, Kelly, speaking, that you'll want to go and find her book. So her book is called The Enlightened Woman, Inspiration and Reflections to Rediscover the Joy of Being You in Midlife, which is beautiful. And we might just mention it's not just Kelly, it's Dr. Kelly Hayes. So I want to just acknowledge you, sweetheart, in your accolades of what you've worked on in your life. And I really highly encourage you to go and have a look at this book and have a look at what Kelly's up to in the world. Is there anything upcoming that you're doing, sweetheart, that you'd like to share with everyone? What you up to?
Actually, September 23rd, we're doing this. I call it the Serenity Experience. That pandemic kind of, we lost. And then in 22, I was gearing up to do it. And Spirit was like, no, this is your year to rest and regroup and make sure your why is authentic. So September 23rd, we're doing the Serenity Experience, Well, Worthy, and Wealthy. And it's for women in midlife. My goal is to help us master our inner life. And so we're going to spend some time really focusing. I'm using the arc of the lotus and the phoenix.
Yes, beautiful. Well, y'all, you're going to be looking for the book, which is The Enlightened Woman, but also I'm super curious for the new book that wants to come through you about the sage, because that sounds like it's super needed and a beautiful redefinition. I've been playing with the words queen and empress. I love sage. Empress, I really also love too, because in the tarot, the Empress card is the one that's sitting back and just being in the fecundity of life that is pouring forth, right? And there's something about sitting back on our seats a little bit. Like, that's another way I've used to describe it. It's like I'm no longer on the edge of my seat. I'm kind of sitting in, my back is being supported. I'm like in my seat. You know, and that is part of the saging process for sure, is that knowing what your seat is and which seat you're sitting in now. So I want to thank you.
We're still fruitful.
Oh my gosh. Totally. So much coming through. Books and publications and retreats and offerings. I mean, all of it. Well, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing and for taking time to be here with us today, Kelly. And it's such an honor to meet you. And I knew when Tamer said to me that she had a sister I needed to talk to, I was like, of course. Who should?
Thank you so much. And for the work you do, because sometimes we're so detached from our spirit, from the goddess of who we are, from walking in that, because we're spirit beings technically, and we spend so much time distancing ourselves from not being aware that is who we are. So thank you for that work that you're doing to bring us back.
Right. Well, yeah, we're very lucky. I feel so privileged and blessed to do the work that I do in the world and to get to be with amazing women. And I have to say that doing the podcast is my favorite thing to do, because I just get to sit and talk to really incredible women and learn about them. I think that sounds like a great job. So thank you for being yet another inspiration and woman who's leading the revolution of the evolution of the return of the divine feminine on the planet and really standing for that. And I look forward to continuing to follow you and know what you're doing in the world, Kelly. Thanks so much. Okay, everybody, you can stay tuned. As I said, find out about Kelly on the Red Podcast page. And beyond that, I will be back with another episode for you very soon. And I'd love to hear about how you are saging. What does that mean to you? Yeah, let's get that conversation going in our sisterhood. All right, my loves, bye for now. I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Red Podcast. It's been an honor to have you here with us. As Red Women, we are here leading from the edges of our own evolution, birthing new worlds into being through our bodies, our hearts, our minds, and our beautiful presence. If you would like to be in contact with me, I love hearing from you. You can find me on Instagram at elaine.kalila or over on my website, elainekalila.com. And lastly, I'd like to invite you, if you loved this episode, to go ahead and share this with someone that you think might enjoy it too. It's through us sharing our hearts with one another and inspiring one another that we reveal our red, that evolutionary edge that is just waiting to be fully expressed in all aspects of our world. Until next time, many, many blessings.